You know, each of us today understand that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. But recently I was reading, you know, not all religious people believe that. I was reading just in the last couple of days of a minister of a mega church that said he's done a lot of studying. In fact, he wrote a book to explain how that hell is not what the Christian people have always believed it to be. In fact, there is no such punishment out there. I want to ask you a question. Your desire to live for the Lord today, what's it based on? Would it change at all if you knew from God there is no hell? And the reason I want to ask that question is, I believe it's important for us. Why do I live for the Lord? Because I tell you, there was a time when I was a young person, I had a draw to the world, but I heard Brother Sammons telling me about hell, and I just, okay, I won't do it because I don't want to go to hell. You know, we're going to need more than that to be able to make it all the way through to the end. And so I would like to talk to you for a little while today. If you could feel for sure from God there is no hell to shun, it ends when life ends, what have been your experiences up until now with life? What would be your choices from that? Have you felt enough of the joys of salvation to say, I tell you what, I'd live this way anyhow. This is the best way to live. Have you seen enough around you in this life of the wages of sin and the price tag that is hooked to it? Because that doesn't change. If we could say there is no hell at the end, but you know what? You're going to have to pay for the deeds that you do in the body. How much trouble there is in the world just today that has come from sin without even the punishment that's coming out in the future for it. You know, as I looked at this for myself, just separate it from everybody else, but look at it for myself. You know what? I have seen enough benefit in living for the Lord. Because you know, when God created man, he put within him the need to love and be loved. And to live in a world where I don't have that. I was just, the last few weeks we've been able to have our grandchildren with us. You know what? It is a wonderful thing to have family. You know what? There are some folks that because of sin, that's all tore up. Folks, we got so much to be thankful for. There is the benefit of heaven out ahead for me. I believe there is the punishment of hell should I choose differently. But what I want to talk to you today about is, as I look at the benefits of living for the Lord just in this life only, I start seeing some songs that are an encouragement to me. Song number 69, verse 1, it says, "The life of a Christian suits me. I'm happy, redeemed, and free," right here. The life of a Christian suits me right here in this life. There was another one that we have. "Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found." And that's just right here in this life. The benefits that come from living for the Lord. The peace that comes for when trouble is all around us, and yet my relationship with the Lord can cause there to be a peace. It said he has a peace that is not like the world can give. The world can only give it when everything is all good around us. And in just a little bit of time, it's gone again. But he's got a peace that can be in the middle of a storm. So there was another song that came to me. You know, because sometimes we will use the verse and we're talking to people, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And what we're trying to do is draw them from that to more of a love for the Lord. But there's a song that says, "I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide." This is now, it's kind of like breaking the sound barrier. You know, I got a lot of resistance, but it crosses the sound barrier, and now there's not so much resistance anymore. "I'm drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied." Folks, you can't put any kind of a price tag on that to swap it. There's no thirsting. You know, all the ministers can say to a person that has a desire in their heart to go after the world, won't be able to match this right here. There's no thirsting for life's pleasure within the heart of a person. You know what? Now there will be a response come when the minister says, love not the world. They'd be able to raise their hand and say, I can say amen to that because the life of a Christian suits me. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures nor adorning rich and gay because I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. And you know what? Those things can help to hold me all the way through. I programmed in, I want to go to heaven. And you know what? We might have several years out ahead of us for that. But when I can enjoy living for the Lord right here, it will help me to be more sure of being able to make heaven my home. There's another verse. Tell me not of heavy crosses, nor of burdens hard to bear, for I found this great salvation makes each burden light appear. It didn't say there will be no burdens, but it says he'll be able to help us with those burdens. I love to follow Jesus, gladly counting all but dross. Worldly honors all forsaking for the glory of the cross. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And by God's help, I plan to make heaven my home. And you know what? I don't want to just say, and when I get there, I'll enjoy. I want to enjoy it right here. And I believe he wants us to enjoy it here. There's a verse that I'd like to start with in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, and in the 18th verse. Four and 18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It continues to get brighter and brighter until I reach heaven, my home. The path of the just is as a shining light. Where does eternal life begin? You know, a lot of times I would think when you draw your last breath, eternal life then begins. But I heard this recently and it has really stuck with me. A minister said, you know what? It begins way before that. It begins the day I get saved. And the day I die is just a continuation of the experience that I have had. Eternal life began when I got saved. And I maintain that and it just steps over into eternity. There's a verse of a song, there light and life without an end. Into eternity shall blend. It just flows from one into the other. And you know, as we enjoy living for the Lord, and it's a part of who we are, when we hear that, okay, this could be the closing door for you, and you're about to leave this life. You know, there's some people in the world that would give everything they own to stay here for a little bit longer. I'll tell you what, there is such a value for the Christian to be able to be living in the place, walking with the Lord toward when it's a possibility that I might be leaving here, that I would be able to say, wait a minute, this is a continuation of the relationship that I've had with the Lord. I am looking forward to that time. There light and life without an end into eternity shall blend, and I, the Lord of life, shall meet, and I'll worship at his blessed feet. Then may I clasp his nail-scarred hands, which broke for me death's awful bands. By his great love, how could it be? From death to life, he lifted me. So today I would like for us, and I know in the evening time and after a good meal like we've had, it's going to be kind of easy to go to sleep. So I would like, if you don't mind, pull out your Bibles, and I would like for you to look up some scriptures with me. I would like to start with John, the 10th chapter, and in the 10th verse. John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Not just enough to be able to cross over and barely made heaven, but to be able to have a more abundant life right here. There was a verse that I had read in Amos 8 and 11. It says there's coming a famine in the land. It's not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but it's going to be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And I don't think that's talking about just that it's spoken, but that it's heard and put to practice in our life. Because in James 1 and 22 it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not just a hearer only, Because the danger of that happening for me just hearing the word is that I can deceive myself. There was a verse in several of the places in Revelation where he was talking to the churches. He would say, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And I don't think that's just stopping with it just reached my hearing, just went into my ear, but that it went in and it became a part of who I was. It went down into my heart. So to me, I want this message to be not one of just, I'm living on the edge. I would like to be able to make heaven, but I've got so many things drawing me. No, but cutting loose. You remember when Jesus borrowed the boats and he gave his message and then he told him, got some fish that you can catch, launch out in the deep. Now he could have told them, just throw your net over. It's only about 3 foot deep, but you might catch something. But no, come on out here because there's much more for you. I really believe it's that same thing for us today. Instead of me just living real close to the edge, and I hope that I'll make it, I still got it programmed. You know, there's a lot of folks got heaven programmed in. That's where I want to go. But living so close to the edge that it's like tossing a coin whether they be able to make it or not. I don't want that to be the life that I live. Here's the direction that I would like to go. What about, and I see this, this is something that I believe every one of us have to work on. The Lord will deal with me every once in a while that, you know what, you need to take more time. You need to spend more time reading and praying. Here's what my desire I want to have. Look in Psalms 27 and 4. And then if someone would get Psalms 1 and 1. Okay, if someone will get Jeremiah 17 and 7. Okay, and if someone would get Matthew 5 and 6. Okay, so I was looking at this in Psalms 27 and 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. You know, there are a lot of things calling for our attention today. To be able to balance at that, you know what my focus is. This is my main desire. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This is what my desire is. And then if we go on down to the 8th verse, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, what does my heart would say today? Lord, I'd love to, but I've got so much going on. Maybe next week I'll have more time. When Jesus is saying, when God is saying to me, seek my face, stop for a little bit and let's spend some time together. What's my response? Listen to this one. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is what's important in my life. Okay? Who has Psalms 1 and 1 through 4? Mm-hmm. Okay, so look at that. Starts out, blessed is the man. And what it's telling us is there's a blessing to the man that makes these kind of choices. He goes in this kind of direction. The first verse is telling us the direction he's going. And I always thought that was some man that they knew. But no, you know what that is? To every man that makes these kind of choices, here's some of the things that are going to follow. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. But there is something that he does do. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. You know, it's going to take something for us to develop the ability to take our mind in a direction. You know, we have thoughts all the time coming to us. And the scripture tells me to be able to come to a place where I can bring into captivity every thought. And I don't think that's just sinful thoughts. I think that is seeking the Lord to have the ability that thoughts that would depress me, thoughts that would cause me to think less of someone else, thoughts of unforgiveness, that I bring those into captivity, that I would be able to, it says his delight, this man's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. So I start measuring myself by some of these things and say, Lord, I want to do better out in the future. I want to be able to have your word come up into my mind more easily, not be so crowded with the things of this world, with the things of this life. You know, we have got to be able to go to work. When I leave here, I'll be going back to work again. You will too. But you know what? To be able to still do the things that we need to do here, but Christ be first in my life, in my thoughts, to be able to have it in control that way, to where on my job that I would be able to think on things above. Those things, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report. It starts giving me instruction. Start training your mind to go in this direction. And I believe in Psalms 1:1, that's what that man was doing. Look in, how about Jeremiah 17:7-8?
Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
Should not be careful in the year of drought. When things are drying up all around. And I want to tell you, in the religious world today, you know, we just read this in Amos. There's coming a famine in the land. You know what? There's a famine in the religious world today. Things are drying up. Well, folks, I'd like to live so close to the Lord that they would be able to see. It says in these two places, it explains that, you know what? Things don't have to dry up. There's a river right next to it. I think of that being a taproot that just runs through that dry ground out into the river, all the time drawing in sustenance to where its leaf doesn't wither. I believe that can be available for us today. Okay, who has Matthew 5:6? That's it, a guarantee. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Got a guarantee, they shall be filled. There's a song, and maybe you will know it. I'd like to sing a couple verses of it. Because this is my desire. I want more of Christ. I want my desires to be more toward Christ. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be. Showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. In Revelations, in the third chapter, There's another promise here. 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I believe this is not just knocking on the day of salvation. I believe this is continually in our heart. I'd like to have another visit with you. I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. Throughout my life, I want to put more value on things eternal. I got programmed in. I want to go to heaven. But you know what? I want to put more focus toward that. And part of that is times when he would like to visit, and I am too busy, that I would be able to see the value of slowing life down. Because I want to tell you, when it comes time to go, it's not going to be real important what I have built up in this life. I know that the motto says only one life is going to soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Those are going to be the important things. And I want to build a relationship between me and the Lord that I can be able to enjoy this life, to where if somebody came along and said, you know what, we've had a minister's meeting and you don't have to live that careful anymore. I believe you'll be able to make heaven your home and take in the world along with it. And you say, I don't want to take the chance. I've built a relationship with the Lord for too long, and I'm going to continue on this way. There's a song, quite a difference between the one that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock if any man open. Have you any time for Jesus while the fleeting moments roll? Is this mortal life so busy that you cannot save your soul? And then I think of that verse, when thou saidst, seek my face. I didn't say, but I'm too busy today. I said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When I do that, and when I build that consistently in my life, then the program of heaven is going to be much more easy to attain. There's not those things that are drawing me. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know what? If I have a desire for the world, but I want to juggle it with a desire for the Lord, not going to be able to make it. I'm going to be unstable in my ways. Cannot serve two masters. I won't be able to do it. And so since my desire is I want to make heaven my home, and you know what? It could be years down the road before that is attained. I want to build a relationship. I want to have a relationship with the Lord where I have laid the world aside. And I know it's easy to say, well, an old person, that's probably easy to happen. But you know what? For all of us, for young people, to be able to see the value of building a relationship with the Lord. Elisha, to do that, I can't be double-minded. You remember when Elijah cast his mantle on Elisha, and Elisha said, I tell you what, I got something else I need to do. I need to go kiss my mother and father goodbye. But then he followed Elijah. And there was a time when Elijah was going to be taken, and he followed Elijah there. And Elijah several times told him, maybe three or four times, I'm going to this next town. Just stay here. Stay here. And he said, nuh-uh, I'm coming with you. And then there was a time where Elijah told him, said, okay, what is it that you're wanting? What would you like to be able to have? He said, I tell you what I want a double portion of your spirit. What did he tell him? Tell you what, you've asked a hard question here. You're looking for a difficult thing. But I tell you what, if you see me when I go up, you'll get your request. How do you think he followed him from that minute on? I believe it was just, you just start to turn, I'm on you. I'm not following at a distance. In fact, I'm walking so close, if you stop, I'm going to just bump into you because I'm right on you now. I've got my desire. See, the desire was there. If the desire wasn't even there, he'd just say, well, maybe I'll see you, maybe I won't. But the desire was there. He knew what he wanted, and he pursued after it. It is so important, I believe, today, for me to have that same kind of desire for following the Lord. Not at a distance, but the relationship that comes from that, the closeness that comes from that with the Lord, has such value that the world then becomes very distant to me. So I've got a few more verses that I'd like to look at before we close. If someone will get Ezekiel 47 and 3 through 5, and if someone will get, someone have that one? Okay, Ezekiel 47 and 3 through 5, and Psalms 122 and 1. Okay, and Psalms 42 and 1 through 2. Okay. Psalms 42 and 1 through 2. Okay, what about Ezekiel 47 and 3? Whoever has it. I believe that's a picture of the experience that we can have. You know, I can stay right next to the shore. I used to do that when I was a little boy and didn't know how to swim. My aunt would take us out to the river to swim, and I wanted to look like I knew how to do it, and so I learned. I've got pretty long arms. So I stayed, moved a little bit away from the shore and act like I'm swimming, but really I can reach down and catch the bottom and move myself along and kick my feet, and it looks like I'm really doing something. There's a problem with that, though. When you're in the river and you're pulling along there, brown mud starts coming up. And you realize, you know what? He's not swimming. He's digging in the mud. And you know what? That can happen so easily with my religious experience. I'm moving on, and I got all this stuff churning up around me. So I said, here's the solution for it. Move on out. Move on out a little distance. So I said the next one was maybe start out at the ankles. That's pretty shallow. Moved on out to the knees, to the waist, and now can't touch bottom. There's enough to swim in. That's what I want my relationship with the Lord to be. All those things that would like to stir up mud around me, that I move on out, it's deep enough to swim in now. There's another, the verse in Psalms 122. And one. Before you read that one, the scripture gives me warning. So much the more as you see this day approaching, there's something that I need to do. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, that's always been just, oh, that's a commandment. That's like the Ten Commandments. So I need to go to church. Okay, read this. Some, who has Psalms 122 and 1? Look at the difference. The other one was a commandment. You need to don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This one said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. What a difference. Somebody tells me, oh, there's another service over here somewhere. And my desire is, that's what I would like to be. What a difference there is there. Okay. Who has Psalms 42 and 1 through 2? As a hart panteth after the water brooks. You ever been thirsty? So thirsty that don't give me food, don't give me pop, don't give me anything. I need water. I am drying up. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, that's how my soul is panting after you, O Lord. I want to draw closer to you. And then it went on down a little bit more than that in that next verse, where it says, when do I get to come before you again? Now that's something. You know, instead of, okay, I've got to do this before I go to sleep tonight, but to be able to say, Lord, when am I going to get another opportunity to be able to be in your presence? Quite a contrast. And you know what it does is it's not something that, like this person here, we say, okay, they're at a crossroads right here. They're making a decision, and that's the day of salvation. Folks, we're making decisions every day of our life that's leading us more this way or more this other way. And it's in little things like this, where my desire is. And when I see my desire starting to drift, let's take it as a time. You know, the devil would like to accuse us at that time. You really don't have much desire to live for the Lord. Nuh-uh. I'm going after the Lord. I've got a desire. I'm going to strengthen that desire. It is what I want to be able to have happen. There is one more verse. Psalms 119. And 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. And then that next one is, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. When my desire is, Lord, I want more of you, the things of this world are going to become fainter and fainter. I'd like to close with a song. And I think I saw it in the in your special book. The song, Higher Ground. It's a decision that I have made. That first verse says, I'm pressing on my upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And then there's another one that says, I want to live above the world, where Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the sound of saints on higher ground. We can go from here, and as the world gets more and more wicked, instead of getting depressed about it, I can draw closer and closer to the Lord. The pathway of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more till I step over into heaven. I desire your prayers.